You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Put a sign on my bicycle and said, if you drink, don't drive. You end up riding a bicycle like me. And so anyhow, we have a bicycle program. We've got something next. Is it next week, Brother Doug?
First Thursday of the month.
Is that next week? Is that the first Thursday?
I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Doug, who handles all of the glasses, the examinations, the getting glasses. Now, he's not going to get your contacts, okay? But he's got a great program, and instead of dealing with that off and on here and there, the first Thursday and every month, he will have a table set up out here and take all the information. If you need glasses, if you need examination, and he will get that done for you. So if you need that, you may want to come a little early, but he'll have a table, and he's in charge of that. So if you need glasses, think you might need glasses, just want to get the examination, then get with him. And we might even build him a little sign or something, so know where to go. Anyhow, thank you again for being here. Brother Charles is going to come and sing for us, and we thank you.
Thank you, Brother Leland. Kenny, my book went sideways. We know these songs, but we're getting old, and we got to cheat a little bit. But this happens to be a new song. Many of you weren't here back in November, but me and little Kenny back here got to take a trip to Nashville back in October, and five of the things we did was go to the Grand Ole Opry. And if you like country music, now the Grand Ole Opry is the place to go. But we got to hear a gentleman named John Conley, who's had quite a few hits over the years. He's not as old as me, but he's getting there real fast. But this song he did there, and he told us a younger guy named Vince Gill actually had the idea for the song, and another songwriter helped him write it. I just fell in love with it. I brought it back and played it for Leland, and I made just a couple of minor changes to it because I wanted to make sure you understand it's about Jesus. And it's about what he can do for you, what he did for me. But it's kind of a sad song to get started, but it sure ends up good. It goes like this. One night he wandered in to that old mission, the one down on the poor side of town. He really had no interest in salvation, just a place to lay his drunk old body down. He said, "Ma'am, I sure am hungry, but I don't have a penny to my name. Knows I haven't worked in a month of Sundays. I'm dirty, dead broke, and so ashamed. I need bread and water, ma'am, that's all I need. Just some bread and water, a place to rest my feet. I ain't too proud to get down on my knees if the bread and water's free." She She said, "You're always welcome at this table. 'Cause brother, you look like you could use a friend. And there's no need to pay if you're not able. 'Cause even Jesus was a homeless man." Then she took the word and started reading about the Savior and the woman at the well. Said, "It's not for me to judge this life you're leading, but only Jesus can save your soul from hell. You need His blood, is the water, man, that's all you need. His blood is the water shed for you and me. If you ain't too proud to get down on your knees, the bread and water's free." When he bowed his head, he kind of choked up. But they spoke every word of our Lord's Prayer. When he closed his eyes, he never woke up. But he found bread and water waiting there. Friend, it's bread. Man, that's all you need. Jesus' blood is the water. Man, that's all you need. Just some blood and water. Man, that's all you need. Brother, just believe. If you ain't too proud to get down on your knees, the bread and water's free. The bread and water's free. Thank you.
Thank you.
Song. Good song. Thank you, Charles. I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight, and we won't be here long, about saved and not saved. I mentioned a while ago that our number one goal was to help people get to heaven, to get saved. I wouldn't walk across the street to help you be a Baptist. I wouldn't walk across the street to help you be a Methodist or a Pentecostal. Are a Protestant. But I'm going to tell you what. I'll do my best to help you get saved. I got to thinking about how many times that word appeared in the Bible, and I went to the concordance to find out. The word saved is used 104 times in the Bible. Webster said it's to preserve from injury or to deliver from the power of sin. And it's about 50-50 in the Bible. Sometimes it has to do with being saved from problems, injury, punishment. And then sometimes it has to do with being saved and going to heaven. Psalms, if you turn there with me, about the middle book in the Bible, and if you don't have a Bible and would like to follow along tonight, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. Okay. Our Bible guys are coming around. And let me say this about that Bible. If you don't have one here with you, and would like to have one, you just keep that as the rec room's gift to you. We want you to keep it. We really do. Now, if you're just using it for tonight, then at the close of the meeting, if you would put it on that table in the back, then our people won't have to run around and get them, and we'll appreciate that. But if you need a Bible, just don't have one here, and you need one, I tell you that. Or you got one or not, you need one. If you'll do that, we'd just love to give that one to you. Anyhow, the book of Psalms, about the middle book of the Bible. If you took that Bible and let it just fall open, it's probably going to fall in the book of Psalms. And we want to go to the 107th Psalm, Psalms 107. Look at verse 13. It said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." This could go either way. Is he talking about physical problems or spiritual problems? But God saves. If you look over there at verse 19, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." He saves. That's his business. Now the word save, not past tense, but just save, is used 233 times in the Bible. And it's got the same two definitions, plus an added one, which means to accept from a general account. Paul talked about all the things that he'd been through one time, and he said he'd got 40 stripes save one. That meant he'd got 39 stripes, and it was used that way. Now, the God of the Bible has a couple of things that no other religion has. One, the God of the Bible is the only God of any religion that loves. Now, if you know any verses in the Bible, you know, probably know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." And anybody that loves, let me tell you what, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And he said he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's being saved. It's also, God is the only God of any religion that saves. The next verse, John 3:17, says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's why he came. Let me tell you, he did not come to start a religion. He did not come to start a church. He did not come to write the Bible. Luke 19:10. I'm going to give you time to turn there. Third book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 19:10 said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." He didn't come to get you off pot. Are off of the pot. He was born in another man's stable, and he was born and he was buried in another man's tomb. They asked him one day, "Where you live?" And he said, "I have not a place to lay my head." He never owned any real estate. His ministry only lasted 3.5 years. That's not as long as presidential term. He never owned anything, never got a doctor's degree. And yet, we're still talking about him 2,000 years later. He never started a company, never was successful in anything. His first companions were sheep, and his last ones were thieves and felons. That was his life. That's where he was. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah. Back in the Old Testament, it's between Psalms and the New Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah. And here might be the saddest words in the Bible. Jeremiah 8, chapter 20. Have you got there yet? I people get on me sometimes because I move too fast, and I don't mean to. I want you to say, don't take my word for anything. I'll lie to you. I spent about half my life lying. But you can believe what God says. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. You realize that you've got less chances to be saved than you have ever had? Think about that for a moment. You've got less chances than you've ever had. He said the harvest is past, the good times when we were making it. The summer's ended. We're getting ready to go into winter, cold and problems. And we are not saved. How many opportunities have we let slip by? Some of you have gotten it so hard. Some of you work at staying away from churches and people that go to them. And that's exactly what the demons did. You remember when Jesus approached the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. They said, leave us alone. Torment us not. Don't bother us, Jesus. Don't mess with us. We don't want to hear about that. We don't want to get into that. Now turn with me to the book of Matthew. First book in the New Testament. Chapter 24. Right toward the end of it. I'm sorry, chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus getting close to the time that he's going to Calvary. He's going to die. Jesus has spent 3.5 years preaching, teaching, pleading with people. They've mistreated him. And they're getting ready to mistreat him worse. They'll spit on him. They'll run a sword in his side. They'll put a crown of thorns on his head. They'll drive nails into his hands and his feet. And he sits and looked down the city where the temple was, where he spent most of his ministry. He never traveled 100 miles from Jerusalem. And he looked down at the city and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. And I was raised on a farm. In fact, about the only thing I was ever scared of on a farm was setting hen. Cattle didn't bother me, horses didn't bother me. But I hated to go and try to get any eggs from a setting hen. They would get you. But I can remember, we had them little old chickens out there running, and when the storm would come, when the rain would come, that old hen would get all them little chickens up in there. You couldn't see one little chicken because she's got them covered up. They're protected. And that's what Jesus said. He said, this is what I want to do. He said, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, I wanted to gather you. I wanted to save you. And you wouldn't let me. Think about that. Jesus gave his life for you and I. He said, I want to save you. And we turn our back on him. I tried to save you, he said, and you wouldn't let me. Why? And now one thing I know. Until Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God starts dealing with your heart, you'll be able to ignore him. You'll be able to go your way. But when God begins to burden your heart, when he begins to remind you of things you don't want to be reminded of, when you begin to see yourself as who you really are, when you begin to realize your sinfulness, and you realize that you need a way out of that, I tell you what, you won't go up till you get on bottom. I'll tell you that. Until you realize, and as long as you think you can handle it. Now, the reason I'm telling you that's not because I'm smart. I just been there, done that for a good while. And when I got to the place where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, then Jesus was there. Not a church, not a denomination, not a religion, not a group, not a club. Jesus Christ. He came to save. And the only reason that anybody is not saved is not because they robbed somebody, or committed adultery, or lied to somebody. Goodness, if we got in trouble, if people called us every time we lied, we'd be beat to death. But it's not because of that. Because now John 3:18, we read John 3:16, and John 3:17. And let's read them again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what we start talking about. Now get verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Not going to be. The Bible said it's condemned already. And then he says, because. Why? Why is he condemned? For what he's done? And here's the amazing thing about it, people. People go to hell for one thing they don't do. Nobody goes to hell for what they do. He said, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want you to do that. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, I pray that tonight we'll finish up the old life and start a brand new one for you. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Close your eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed for a moment. you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Now, we're talking about salvation. I don't care if you've been a member of 40 churches. I don't care if you've got another religion. I don't care if you joined the Masons or what. I don't care. Have you been saved? And you say, Leland, I've never been saved. I'll be honest with you, I've never been saved. Would you slip your hand up that we might pray for you real quickly? Are you here tonight? I've never been saved. I see your hand. Yes, sir. Anyone else, real quickly? I've never been saved. I see your hand. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Be honest with me now. Nobody's looking around. I've never been saved. As far as I know, Leland, if I were to die tonight, I have no reason for God to let me into heaven. Somebody said this one time, said, I don't think I've been bad enough to go to hell, but I don't think I've been good enough to go to heaven either. I've never been saved. If I stood before God Almighty tonight and He called you by name and He said, if you ever trusted my son, you'd have to say no. If I'm going to be honest, I have not. I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Our Heavenly Father, this is your service. There are some people here tonight that need to be saved. But the great thing about it, they can be saved. There are some people here tonight who came in here not saved that can leave here saved. And so, Father, help them to step out. Help them right now to say, Lord Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. I trust you to save me. I believe you died for me. And I put all my faith in you. And then when Brother Charles begins the moment, start singing, just as I am, without one plea, I want you to step out and say, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to be saved tonight. I want to get rid of doubts. I want to get rid of the problems. I want to get rid of it and turn it over to Him. Would you come as Brother Charles begins to sing?
Just
come on, right now. Step out. Step out. Do what God wants you to do. Come right on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come right on.
That you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God,
come on.
I come.
Come on. Do what God wants you to do. You can be saved tonight. Greatest thing that'll ever happen to you.
Whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
In a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Charles to sing one other verse and we'll be through. What you're telling me is, Leland, I really don't care. And I can understand that. I've been there. I just pray that you'll care. I pray God will give you another opportunity. None of us are guaranteed one, are we? We never know. Do what you know is right. Come tonight. trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Brother Charles?
Just as I am, you will receive, will welcome.
You'll welcome pardon, cleanse, relief. Come on.
Because your promise I believe.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.